بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, last week we had discussed an important lesson that the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم were taught with regard to the asking of questions and what questions they should and shouldn't pose to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The guidance was given to them that do not ask those questions which are unnecessary. Such things which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has not revealed any detail. And by you asking it, this will cause wahi to come down. This will cause the mas'ala or the situation to become restricted, to become difficult. As an example, that sahabi who asked after the obligation of hajj was made known to them. So he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that does hajj have to be performed every year? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had rebuked him that if I answered in the affirmative, Allah would have made it fard and then this would have become difficult for every person. Rather, you should not have asked. If it was important, I would have explained it to you. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that this was actually a cause of the nations of the past going astray. That قَدْ سَأَلَهَا قَوْمٌ مِّن قَبْلِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَصْبَحُوا بِهَا كَافِرِينَ. The nations of the past, those who were before you, would also ask these type of questions. And then as a result of it, they would end up as disbelievers. What is meant by this is that they would also pose these intricate questions to the Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam. They would ask for specific signs that we want to see this happening, or we want to see you producing a specific type of miracle. And when they would ask for this, at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give in to their request. That miracle would be displayed at the hands of the Nabi. But these people would not be prepared to accept. And now because that miracle was in front of them, or what they had asked for was given to them, and they still rejected, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish them. So in other words, their posing these questions led to their downfall. And then in today's verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now continues, as we had been discussing previously, with the false beliefs and practices of the mushrikeen, of the disbelievers. In this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about their false understanding with regard to certain animals of theirs. They had this belief that if an animal produces a certain number of children, or it fulfills a certain purpose during its lifetime, then this animal has to be devoted to our deities, to our idols, and no human being is allowed to take any benefit from it. So Allah speaks about four such types of beliefs. That ما جعل الله من بحيرة ولا سائبة ولا وصيلة ولا حام. Allah has not instituted, Allah has not ordained the bahira. Bahira refers to that camel which during its lifetime would give birth to at least 5 calves. So after giving birth to 5 calves, what they would do is they would slit the ear of this camel of the mother, and this would be a distinguishing mark. And thereafter they would say that this animal has to be left to graze freely and no person can take any benefit from it. So Allah has not ordained this. وَلَا سَائِبَةٍ. Sa'iba, when a person was on a journey and he wanted to get home safely, or a person had some other need that he wanted to be fulfilled, he was unwell, he was looking for shifa, for cure, then he would say that if Allah cures me, or if rather if I am cured, or if I return from my safar, then the camel that I have will have to be dedicated to our deities, to our gods, and I cannot benefit from it thereafter. وَلَا وَسِيلَةٍ. Wasila refers to that camel which in one pregnancy would give birth to twins, a male and a female, and this also would then be left to graze freely and not be benefited from. وَلَا حَامٍ. And the fourth type of animal, that animal which, again, when it comes to a stallion, a male camel, then this camel which would father at least 10 children, 10 calves, then they would say it has fulfilled its purpose, it has now given us years of service, and again we should leave this to graze freely. So Allah has not ordained this, Allah has not mentioned this. وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. But the disbelievers have invented a lie against Allah. They are imposing this upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of them, Allah says, do not have any understanding. They do not even know why they are doing this. They have no basis for it. But they are holding so firmly and rigidly to this belief of theirs. Thereafter, Allah shows their stubbornness. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. When it is said to them, تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ. That come to that which Allah has revealed. In other words, come to the Quran and come to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, take your belief, take your guidance, take your practices from Allah and His Rasul. Then what is their response? قَالُوا حَسْبُنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. That which we found our forefathers to be doing, this is sufficient for us. In other words, we do not need guidance from the Quran, from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but we are happy to follow the practices of our forefathers. Allah says, how foolish is this, that أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Are they going to hold so rigidly to the practices of their forefathers, even though they did not know anything, they had no knowledge, they were not rightly guided? In other words, their predecessors were not following any Nabi, were not following any scripture of Allah. But these people want to use this as a basis for their beliefs, for their practices. So the lesson for us in this, respected brothers and elders, generally beliefs like this, practices like this have been eradicated. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has set the record straight on these issues. But still we find sometimes within our lives, within our families, individually at times, we have certain beliefs, certain understanding regarding certain things. Perhaps when it comes to our nikahs, our marriages, when it comes to janaza, and we have certain customs or certain practices, when we look into it, there is no real shari'i basis for it. There is no proof from Quran, from hadith. These were not practices done by Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So we should be very careful that we don't fall under the ambit of this verse of the Quran, that we are just practicing on something or holding on to something because it was something passed down from generations and we saw our forefathers doing it, now we are doing the same thing. Rather, Allah has given us knowledge, Allah has blessed us with ulama. We go to them, we ask them that this particular understanding of mine, this particular practice of mine, does it have any basis in Shariat? If it does not have any basis, then we discard it, we put it aside, and we practice on that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and that which is the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this is our complete success. Allah give us correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.